The British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is in the north today for talks with the main party leaders there in an effort to encourage a restoration of the power-sharing government. The DUP has refused to re-enter devolved government until its concerns around the Northern Ireland Protocol are addressed. Writing in today's Belfast Telegraph, Mr. Johnson warns that if the EU position does not change to address problems identified with the protocol, then his government will act. He said a more detailed assessment and the next steps it intends to take will be outlined in Parliament in the coming days. Sinn Féin's leader at Stormont, Michelle O'Neill, accused Boris Johnson of speaking out of two sides of his mouth, saying he wants politics to work, but at the same time is feeding instability and economic uncertainty with his threats to go around the protocol. She was speaking following talks in Dublin with the Taoiseach at government buildings this morning.
We don't need a pep talk from Boris Johnson. Boris Johnson and the Tory party are actually shoring up the DUP's bad behaviour, and that's reckless. The people just voted in the largest turnout in an election for many years. They voted for politics to work. They voted for the parties to get into the executive, to turn up and do their job on day one. But unfortunately, the DUP are holding the rest of society to ransom because of their actions, because they delivered us the hardest possible Brexit. So I think Boris Johnson perhaps is speaking out of two sides of his mouth. On one hand, he's saying he wants politics to work. He wants the executive to be formed. At the same time, he's feeding the instability and the economic uncertainty with his threats to go around the protocol. And that's just reckless. That is not how we're going to find solutions to make the protocol work. What we demand, and what I think all right-thinking people demand, is that there are agreed ways found forward, and I think that can be done by both the British government and the EU, and the executive should be formed immediately. The Assembly should be sitting today. We should be talking about the cost of living crisis. We should be talking about what we're going to do for our health service, but we're being denied that because the DUP and their actions and Boris Johnson and co are pandering to all of that.
Boris Johnson indicating today that the protocol will not be scrapped, he says, but talking about a sensible landing spot. Do any of those comments reassure you at all?
Well, I don't think anybody would blame me for not trusting Boris Johnson's word. He repeatedly goes around things that he said previously. I think that what we have today is a British Prime Minister shoring up the DUP. What we have today is a British Prime Minister telling everybody that they're going to breach international law. They're going to legislate to find ways to go around the protocol. So I, on one hand, can welcome the fact that the acknowledgement that the protocol is here to stay. It's our best protection against Brexit, which the Tories and the DUP delivered. But I think that there needs to be ways to find to make it work more smoothly. But that can only be done by negotiation and by agreed way forwards, find solutions between the British government and the EU side. The people deserve nothing less.
Michelle O'Neill of Sinn Féin. Well, asked about the Prime Minister's comments on the BBC this morning, the DUP leader, Geoffrey Donaldson, said he will judge Boris Johnson on what he does as opposed to what he says.
Well, I will judge what the government does and I will look at the credibility of what that is and the impact it has in terms of removing that Irish Sea border. And I will make my judgments based on what has happened. I'm not going to speculate at this stage. I haven't seen the government's proposals, yeah. So I'm not in a position to say I would do A or B. But you will note that in the past, we have been reasonable. We have taken proportionate action. We have sought to give time for negotiations bring forward outcomes. That hasn't happened. And I think the time has come now for action. If the government takes decisive action, then, of course, we will consider what steps we can take.
Geoffrey Donaldson of the DUP. The Minister of Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney, has warned that any move by the British government to override the Northern Ireland Protocol could endanger the wider post-Brexit trade deal with the EU, the Trade and Cooperation Agreement. Mr. Coveney was speaking in Brussels, where he's meeting EU Commission Vice President Maros Šefčovič to discuss the protocol. He said they wanted to resolve the issues with their friends in the United Kingdom, but he said that the law is the law and the treaty that they designed and ratified together is the basis for any agreement and compromise.
Where we want to be right now is to be negotiating and discussing with the UK how we can resolve the outstanding issues in relation to protocol implementation, how we can respond to the unionist community that have been offended by elements of the protocol, and how we can do that in a comprehensive manner. And certainly the willingness of the European Commission and of Ireland to try to accommodate those concerns is very much there. What we can't do, though, is accept that the British government would act unilaterally. They would pass legislation to effectively breach international law, to set aside elements of a treaty that, of course, this Prime Minister was central to designing and putting in place, because that will cause an awful lot more problems than it will solve. So this is a time for calmness, it's a time for dialogue, it's a time for compromise and partnership between the EU and the UK to solve these outstanding issues. I think if that is the approach taken by the British government, we can make significant progress, and we can make progress quickly to respond to the concerns of both the business community and the unionist community in Northern Ireland. The alternative is unilateral action, which means tension, rancour, standoffs, legal challenges, and of course calls into question the functioning of the TCA itself, because the TCA and the withdrawal agreement are interlinked, if you like. They rely on each other. That is the last thing Europe needs right now, when we're working so well together in the face of Russian aggression and responding to the support needed for Ukraine at this time.
Simon Coveney speaking in Brussels. Well, let's go to Belfast now, where our Northern correspondent Conor McAuley is standing by. Boris Johnson due in the next little while in Northern Ireland. Conor, what's he likely to face when he meets party leaders there at Stormont later?
Good afternoon, Brian. Well, he's actually touching down, I think, just about now as we speak at Belfast City Airport on the government jet. He's then heading out to Hillsborough Castle on the outskirts of Belfast, where he'll meet the five main parties over the course of this afternoon. I think essentially three of those five parties will be giving him much the same message. Sinn Féin, Alliance, the SDLP will all be saying, look, yes, OK, there are problems with the way the protocol is working, but they can be addressed through the flexibilities that are already there in the protocol. I think they would probably very much point to how the medicines issue was resolved a matter of months ago, and say, look, we can, you know, kind of knock the rough edges off a lot of these issues if we can kind of get down and negotiate about it. And really, there is fundamentally no reason not to have the executive back up and running. The Ulster Unionist Party would take a slightly different line. They will say, of course, yes, there are issues with the protocol. They need to be addressed. They're actually welcoming this promise of unilateral action. They're saying, look, this is a standoff that can't continue. The EU needs to change its negotiating mandate. One of the issues that they've been floating is perhaps some sort of green lane, if you like, for goods coming from GB to NI, which would be only bought and consumed in Northern Ireland. That's one of the issues that they've been talking about as a possible workaround situation. But again, I think the Ulster Unionist Party would like to see the executive up and running as a matter of some urgency to deal with the cost of living and the health crisis that we're having here. And then finally, you come to the DUP, and they are, I mean, as you've clearly heard there in some of the clips that you played, they are interpreting their healthy election result in recent times there as a mandate not to go back into the power sharing arrangement until their protocol concerns are addressed by what they're describing as decisive government action on the Northern Ireland protocol.
In his article today, Boris Johnson says that the UK will always keep the door wide open to genuine dialogue, but he also says that hoping the EU's position changes, if it does not, and I quote, then it will be necessary to act. The government has a responsibility to provide assurance to the people of Northern Ireland that their interests are protected in the long term. Now, when he talks about the British government acting, what's expected here? Because Liz Truss, the Foreign Secretary, I think is expected to unveil some plans to get around the protocol, perhaps even in the next few days.
Yeah, that's right. We're expecting Liz Truss, the British Foreign Secretary, to stand up, we think, in the Commons tomorrow and set out some details around the legislation that they're talking about here in terms of perhaps allowing the UK government the option to disapply some elements of the Northern Ireland Protocol. And he was making kind of a vague enough reference to that fact in the Belfast Telegraph article that he wrote this morning. I mean, it was a fairly wide-ranging piece of work. He got a double-page spread in the Belfast Telegraph. There were about 2,000 words in it. He covered a lot of ground. He wasn't just talking about the protocol. I thought it was quite interesting. He talked at length about the UK government's role as a co-guarantor of the Good Friday Agreement and a partner with Irish authorities in the peace process. And I thought that was interesting in light of all of the stuff that's been said in recent weeks about the kind of the amount of bad faith, I suppose, there is around all of this. There was also an acceptance there that the Brexit had undermined the careful balancing, if you like, of identity and aspirations of both communities facilitated by the Good Friday Agreement. And importantly, I think, too, there was an acceptance that the protocol exists because of the complexities of delivering no hard border on the island of Ireland and protecting Ireland's position within the single market. So he was pretty clear when he said, the protocol is going to continue in some form. He actually said those who want to scrap the protocol rather than seeking changes are focusing on the wrong thing. But he was also pretty clear too. He says, look, there's no disguising the fact that that delicate balance that we talked about has been upset. Unionists do feel threatened by the protocol, so it does need to be changed. And then finally, he said this. He said, there is a sensible landing spot in which everyone's interests are protected. But crucially, of course, as you said there in your question, there was also that warning that if the EU does not compromise, that legislation could be forthcoming very soon.
Just on that, Conor, the challenges that he might face at Westminster in getting that kind of legislation through, what might be the obstacles to be overcome?
Well, he has a very healthy majority, of course, in the House of Commons, 80-seat majority. But I have to say, I mean, some of his own backbenchers are not keen on this idea that, you know, perhaps the UK government could sign an internationally binding agreement, 18 months, 2 years ago, and then now be in the process of starting to kind of try and wriggle out of bits of it, for want of a better description. So he will face some opposition from the back benches, I would imagine, on his own party. He'll obviously face opposition from the benches opposite. But I think, you know, the likelihood would be that he would expect to get it through the Commons. What happens when it gets to the Lords is probably a different issue, because there would be, I think, quite trenchant opposition in the Lords. We've heard some of it expressed already in recent months to that issue, that idea that, you know, Britain's standing in the eyes of the world could be affected if they were to start to try and get out of this kind of treaty that they've signed up. So the legislative process could be much trickier, I think, than people are expecting here. And that could push the time frame on this out. And that could leave Geoffrey Donaldson, the DUP, in a position where, you know, he's saying he won't move until he sees action, not words. Well, he might have to wait some considerable time before he was in a position potentially to see any of that action.
Conor McCauley in Belfast, thanks very much for that.